everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, July 17th, 2026. Brendan Kraft on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. How was your week, Brendan?
Nice, easy going. Nice and simple. That's how I like it.
Hey, I heard you were actually on the radio this morning.
Yeah, just briefly, just real briefly, with Alan Kath this morning.
Oh, very nice. Hope everybody had a great week. Buckmaster with you Fridays only. And I like coming in here now on Friday because wherever you work, chances are everybody's in a good mood on Friday. Welcome to the show, broadcasting from Central Tucson in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Broadcast Center. It's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. Our weekly edition of the program, we're here noon to one each Friday. It's a tradition that began 15 and a half years ago doing the daily radio show. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at our, I like it, it's really looking good, the website, newly redesigned, buckmastershow.com. Even have our travel blog up there. I just posted this week my recent travels to iconic LA area beach towns, Joe Ferguson.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, especially this time of year, right? When we do our live line, the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management sponsors that. We thank Sean and the team over there, our media partners, a couple of them, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, supporters of what we do. And Joe Ferguson's a supporter of what we do. Joe is a senior writer of the very growing in popularity online news service, Tucson Agenda.
Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure, Joe, former Arizona Daily Star reporter. We have two Friday Focus interviews. First, Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Then at the bottom of the hour, Arizona Daily Star columnist Terry Bracey. Councilman, how are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
You were, you're the longest serving member of council. Democrat Paul Cunningham was appointed in 2010.
Yep, coming up on 16, well, it'll be 17 years, 5 months.
And that was the seat Rodney Glassman held here.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was, he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
And within, I want to say 6 months, he was talking about running for either Secretary of State or the Senate, the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up ultimately running it for the U.S. Senate against John McCain.
Yeah.
And he had to resign to run.
Mm.
What's the Rodney Glassman that you remember versus the Rodney Glassman you see out in the public now?
Well, I haven't really talked to him in a long time, so I haven't really saw all the discussioning. I know there's some, he's in a pretty heated primary right now. Right. He's had quite a few different runs for office, but we got along okay. I mean, was he one of my best buds? No, nothing like that.
No.
But we got along fine. Again, as you guys have gotten to know me over the years, I don't really have a problem with anybody.
Yeah,
so
you're sort of a get along guy, right?
So yeah. So he was okay. Whatever. I mean, I remember when he was leaving, and there was a process, or he'd already resigned, and there was a process to, pick the next council member.
Mm.
And it was a pretty involved process, and he was not really engaged in that at that point.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your own political future. You have an exploratory, is it a formal committee?
No, nothing formal yet.
Let's just call it the Paul Cunningham exploratory
situation
that you're exploring, looking at running for mayor, and that. What's going into that?
Well, there's a lot of different. There's a lot of different options,
right? Yeah.
I've been elected four times, and I served partially on another term, and that's to me kind of the end of it. Like a four term, even in the legislature, you can only do four terms. You do 4 2-year terms. So
can you? Is there a term limit? No,
but it just.
Up to date on
this. There's no term limit for us, but I just think it's time to move on, whether it was mayor or something else. So I was looking at all my options, And I had some soul searching when my father passed.
Mm-hmm.
And
George Cunningham.
The question was, is it? It's kind of now or never. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to wait. So, irrespective of what other people are doing, I've got to figure out what's best for me and what I want to do. And in the situation we're in with the city, I think there's some contrasting philosophies that are emerging. And so that's kind of one of the catalysts to me having this very true this true belief to throw my hat in the ring next year to be the mayor.
Joe Ferguson.
I think that one of the issues that probably is at top of the plate is, you know, the Teamsters just signed a new labor agreement with the city of Tucson.
Sure.
And so, but there was a lot of friction right underneath the surface of that agreement.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we'll have to see kind of some of the nuances of that agreement. We've given some drivers the authority and some discretion on board the bus, which I think is a really big deal. It allows the drivers to be empowered and to make sure that they're the captain of the ship and they're taking care of their riders. And if people are taking part in unsafe acts, but there's going to be some backlash to that. There'll be some incidents that'll happen because there's going to be some confrontation at some point. I mean, that's just the nature of things. So I think that's a really interesting discussion, or big piece to it. I think another big piece to it is how fast we are able to get the compartments built to ensure driver safety. But at the same time, for me, despite all that, I feel that we still need to have some motivation on that social contract that exists for bus riders, and recognizing that it's that having at least a free pass system, let alone a fare system, which I actually believe we should have. I think there's a big piece to that that would improve the conditions on the bus. I also think that we should concentrate where we have true density and have really high interval bus lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the outskirt lines, you would bus in through a hub a little bit more. We'd have branch lines, and then we'd have our integral lines. The other piece I think that we can take a look, I think we'd save some money. The other thing I think we can do with the bus, which is it's counterintuitive to what people think, but there are scenarios where we have bus stops like 300 feet from each other, and that just doesn't make any sense. We could probably, so I'm not saying we need to reduce every bus stop in town. There's a lot of places that they're really necessary, but there's other ones that we have a bus stop outside of the El Dorado Country Club, and then we have another bus stop right at the Radisson.
So you're saying consolidate?
We could probably just do the one at the Radisson. Mm-hmm. It's less than 300 meters mm-hmm. in walking, and the straight shot from the clubhouse mm-hmm. to the hotel is the same distance. Mm-hmm. So that's the type of stuff I'm thinking mm-hmm. about with how we can get the bus kind of where it's going. That means our commute times go down. I think there's some opportunity there.
How about the safety in this city? There's so much. The Tucson Crime Coalition has been so active, and I don't know if you follow what they're saying.
Yeah, their concerns are true, and that I think we probably need to increase patrol. We need to commit some of our budget to increasing the number of officers we have on patrol. We need a minimum amount to cover our calls for service, and we need to overlap our shifts so that when we hit prime time, which is a certain time of the day when we seem to get more calls for service, and it's very predictable. That's the only thing that's predictable, actually, is that call for service time that ramps up. What's happening is that we have officers signing on the swing shift with 10, 15, 20 calls holding, and we can't have that. That's what happens when we have that. We have people waiting an hour for the police to show up to something, or we can't have that. So that's a big piece to the discussion. A lot of folks are very worried that officer response will generate confrontational response. And I want to push back and say that we have also quite a few social workers. We have quite a few resources in the field that police work with. And if they really want to know what kind of response officers give and what kind of care they give, they should go out and do a ride-along with them and understand the type of work they do. It's 99% communication and working with people and trying to solve people's problems right then and there. You'll get into situations and domestic violence calls or just assaults or just confrontations where there's two people arguing in a restaurant and the police get called. And if we can't respond to those right away, sometimes weapons get pulled, sometimes other things happen. So we have to have that ability to respond. And the only way to do that is to have enough patrol.
Joe?
Just want to get a sense of that all this costs money. So how do we get to that point?
Well, your budget is your priority. So we have to take a look at some of the things that we've spent money on that we may be able to generate a little bit more cost recovery on. And that does include, that includes a transit. That includes some of the park services. That includes, so there's some other stuff we can do that where we've done it back. We're on the right track, but we've done it backwards. Like, here's a good example. We have a seasonal requirement for our turf at our parks to do grass, and we have to treat it twice a year, and then we have to do something called aeration once a year. There's a season for that.
Mm-hmm.
That should be done by a private group. It's a very specific task. We bring a private group in. But the everyday stuff should be done by city employees, so they take some ownership and go to the same park every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather run that model. I think that's a better model. Mm-hmm. But we're not. We just recently, credit to the Parks Department, in actually bringing in some outside help. So we're working through that contract, but I think we should probably flip it. Right now we have city employees rotating through all the parks, and we have one group doing the everyday. So I think there's some... there's little tweaks like that I think can save us some money. I also think there's some cash management pieces for us. So I think there's some opportunity there to be able to afford.
Real quickly, before the break, go ahead, Joe Ferguson.
And you've talked about the idea of working closer with the county to get more money by combining services.
Well, we can do that. We can also look at incorporation. We can look at annexation. I mean, that's part of the whole discussion is we're not really going to get where we want to go as a community until we figure out a workaround from the state law that cuts us out of, you know, $70, $80 million.
El Cisne has been one of my favorite restaurants for a long time, and I'm so delighted that they're now one of our sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show. El Cisne, which is means the swan in English, is appropriately located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. El Cisne offers a beautiful multicultural fine dining representing many regions of Mexico. El Cisne is open every day for lunch and dinner. You can dine in or take out. El Cisne also specializes in catering your large or even very small event. Let the friendly staff there set up, serve, and clean up your special occasion. El Cisne at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Have you been up there, Paul Cunningham?
I have not been to El Cisne yet.
Okay.
I've been to Sunrise and Swan a few times, though.
Okay. Well, next time you're up there, check it out. How about you, Joe?
I've been there, but it's been a while. I'm overdue for a trip.
All right. Let's take a break right here. Buckmaster on a Friday. City Councilman Paul Cunningham is here. My co-media host is Joe Ferguson, the senior writer at Tucson Agenda.
The Regional Transportation Authority's new voter-approved $2.67 billion Regional Transportation Plan and Tax will go into effect on April 1st. The current RTA half-cent tax will remain the same. In addition to completing over 1,000 improvements to date, the RTA will fund new improvements to upgrade, widen, and repave roads. RTA-funded transit services will continue and expand where needed. Visit rtamobility.com for quarterly reports on RTA project activities and financial trends.
For more than 30 years, the nonprofit Save the Scenic Santa Ritas has protected Tucson's water and rare Sky Island ecology from large-scale industrial mining in the Santa Rita Mountains south of Tucson. The Santa Rita Mountains include sacred Native American sites, a crucial Sonoran Desert watershed and habitat for endangered species including jaguars and ocelots. Learn more at scenicsantaritas.org. travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Good bump music, as usual, from Brendan Kraft on the other side of the glass. Buckmaster here each Friday. Joe Ferguson is with me. He is the senior writer for the online news service Tucson Agenda, which is in my mailbox, and it should be in your mailbox Monday through Friday, with a few exceptions. The email is going to be there at 6 a.m.
Every day?
Every day. Paul Cunningham is here. Paul's been a Tucson City Councilman in Ward 2 since 2010. He's exploring, looking at running for mayor, and that decision probably will come later in the fall, safe to say.
I can't pull papers officially until December 10th.
Well, there you go then. So it'd be late in the year. All right, Joe Ferguson, kick us off in segment number two.
So we have a lot of people concerned nationally about the rise in popularity of the Democrats, Socialists of America. They've won some seats. Mr. Mondani, of course, is probably the most well example. But Tucson's been a liberal enclave for, you know, decades. And so I'm interested to get your perspective as, you know, a son of a Democratic politician and somebody who's been a Democrat his entire life, how the recent DSA additions to the council have...
The DSA. Oh,
don't forget, I'm also father of a DSA.
Okay. DSA being?
Democratic Socialists of America.
Okay.
And how that has impacted the council in the recent months.
You know, I'd say that I don't see big conflict. I think some folks are looking for it when they're younger. I think there's all kinds of different nuance to that. But there's a significant number of values that I honor with that. So in the minutiae, yeah, there's probably some policies I'm not into. Obviously, it depends on who you talk to. But when you get into the details, there's a lot more common ground than people understand. What I'd say is that my biggest concern, I think philosophically, at, you know, looking at it at the 30,000 foot level, is that we as a party lost our way a little bit. And we didn't do it on purpose. It wasn't one single thing. It was a series of decisions in which we took low wage earners, not minimum wage earners, but just above that, a little bit above that, and even what used to be middle class earners, and we disrupted their quality of life. Like right now, if you're earning, say, $15-16 an hour and working your 35, 36 hours a week, problem number one is you're struggling. And number two, if you are a single parent, there is no incentive for you to take a better job because your health care and child care benefits would be suspended and it would be a net loss to you. And we can't have that. And so that's kind of what we've done is we've disenfranchised, not on purpose, but and it's not just we as the council or we, I'm talking about we as a society have disenfranchised people who make $17 to $24 an hour. We basically said to them, you're just going to struggle. We don't have any breaks for them. Look, if you're in that income level, there's no excuse that you shouldn't be able to pay for your kids to do activities. There's no excuse that you shouldn't have money left over for rent. There's no excuse that you can't enjoy a good activity at the local park and have decent facilities. And we've somehow lost those programs. And I grew up on those programs, man, when everything was through Parks and Rec and everything, you know, whether it was tennis, drama, pottery. I think I took from age five gymnastics from age five to 15 or 12 anyway. I think we lived at Fort Lowell, Randolph and Udall Park when they finally built mm-hmm. it. So it for me, that's kind of what I want to bring back and have that synergy between TUSD and Parks and Rec where, you know, all kids, no matter whether they're at the lowest wage or the highest wage or the folks in the middle who seem to be left out right now, the missing middle, we need to be able to have them to have opportunities to enjoy their quality of life.
And Joe Ferguson, that DSA makes a really easy target, doesn't it, for Democrats that the Republicans can say, oh, they're just, you know, they're far leftists.
I think the idea, though, is that, you know, Democrats are a wide spectrum. There are conservatives, there are liberals, there mm-hmm. are people that are in the middle. And so, you know, it's easy to try to paint this as something as going from socialist to communist and go down that trope. But the reality is that the Democrats, you know, even on the council, in my observation of the last 30 years, is that, you know, they come in different flavors, they have different priorities. And, you know, every 10 years, those priorities kind of shift a little bit.
Hmm. I agree. I mean, again, I would just say that I try to get along with everybody. So the idea is that I'll work with anybody, and I'll if it's a good idea, then let's go for it. And if it's mm-hmm. if it makes sense, let's go for it. And if it's a bad idea, I'm going to say, gee, maybe we ought to think this. Maybe we ought to consider something different.
And I'll remind our listeners that Paul's worked with Republicans on the Tucson City Council in the past. He's been there so long.
Well, yeah, that's when we had the one Republican. Yeah, I mean it, and he became a de facto mentor and good friend. And so that it meant a lot to.
How far back do you have to go, guys, to think about a Republican kind of council in this community?
Well, it's actually not as far back as people think. So remember, Carol West, my predecessor's predecessor,
right,
and another mentor, and just a joy to talk to. When I talk to her, it's just I love getting. I'll get schooled by Carol West any day of the week if you could. But Carol went to Independent. Bob Wachup was mayor, who was a Republican,
right.
And we had Kathleen Dunbar in Ward 3. And Fred Ronstadt was in Ward 6.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, and that was 05.
Mm-hmm.
That was up to 05. So 21 years since it was like a Republican council. And then even when I was on the city council in 2010, Steve Kozacik had just gotten elected as a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Wachup was mayor. So mm-hmm. we had two Republicans on the council. So it's not as far removed as people want to think.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that while Shirley Scott was there
right.
on the council, Rita Ranch is a very conservative area.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was an extension of her constituents. So while she was a business owner, nobody gives Shirley enough credit for the work she did and understands just how wise she was about the city protecting its own interests,
mm-hmm.
and she did a really good job.
We've talked when Tim Steller was here. We talked with Tim Tomier, your city manager, about what's commonly referred to Joe Ferguson as curb appeal. How this city really looks to those that fly into TUS and then they travel downtown or wherever they're going up to one of the resorts. it just doesn't look that great, Paul.
No, the what's amazing is the destinations are, though.
Yes.
Like downtown has a great vibe, and the resorts speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And the desert scape we have and the different amenities we have. But there is this dirtiness that we just haven't kind of – we really need to get our hands around it a little more, be a little more efficient.
Why can't we clean this stuff up? I think it's a myriad of things.
It's a myriad of things. But
garbage.
I push back and say I think the medians are – I drive through Ward 2 once a week and kind of take stock and try to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that part of that curb appeal is the quality of roads we have. A lot of that curb appeal is, unfortunately, is how much unsheltered is visible. And the last piece of that curb appeal is commercial vacancy.
So let me just pitch on that. So for purpose-built commercial developments that are empty now, why is the city struggling to repurpose them? You did the curb to something plan 6 months ago, but it really hasn't taken off. What's the issue there? Is it the economy?
I don't think our adaptive reuse is as aggressive as it needs to be. I'm a big proponent of adaptive reuse. I'm a big proponent of we're doing an adaptive reuse pilot in Ward 2 right now where we're taking the old Geico building and converting it. Well, that's the plan anyway. And I think it's a really good project. But we had to you have to facilitate those things. The Ward office is integral in those pieces. So I'm going to tell you right now, in Ward 2, we have a pretty high commercial occupancy rate. We don't have a lot of empty space. The bane of my existence for forever, which dropped our, because they calculated by square feet, was the Kmart. And Floor and Decor moved in there. But I still have half that Kmart and the old Floor and Decor across the street. Those are the two biggest vacancies I have in Ward 2 right now. So we do our best to find those things. I think what we really need to focus on in the corridor is we try to do this like overarching idea, but we really should do on the Broadway corridor is go parcel by parcel and figure out what the overlay is going to look like. And we need to eliminate some of the height limits there. We need to do algorithms so that the height limit isn't invasive into the residences nearby, which you can do with setbacks, and you can measure and figure out how. So you know you can't see into people's yards, and then we have to go with it.
Okay.
But there's, I think that the adaptive reuse piece, and then also the building vertically piece are the two things that will spurn some of that development.
You're invited to stick around while we listen to Terry Bracey coming up in the next break. Would you want to stick around, Paul?
Stick around for a little bit, sure.
Sure, great. Terry Bracey, Arizona Daily Star columnist, will join us, and Joe Ferguson sticks around for sure up until the end of the show. So we'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster.
Terry's not our lobbyist anymore?
I don't know. We'll ask him. All right. We'll be right back. Buckmaster.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Congratulations to KVOI 1030 The Voice radio host Bill Buckmaster on his nomination to the Tucson Weekly 2026 Best of Contest in the category of Best Local Radio Host. Votes must be submitted through TucsonWeekly.com. Limit one vote per category, per email address, per day. Voting ends at noon on August 24th, and once again, votes must be submitted at TucsonWeekly.com. Good luck, Bill.
And Brandon, you can vote every day in the contest. I think I've voted for myself at least on one day over the past week. Anyway, it's Buckmaster, midway point of our Friday show. We asked Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham if he'd like to stick around a little bit while we talk to Terry Bracey from Washington. Joe Ferguson is here, senior writer for the growing in popularity online news service known as Tucson Agenda. Terry Bracey has had a unique role in representing Tucson's interests, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry then was appointed to a sub-cabinet position by President Carter. He subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital, and Terry is also contributing columnist to the Arizona Daily Star. Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We've got an air alert here.
You
walked
yeah.
outside this morning, and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face.
Ugh.
Yeah.
My home.
That's, well, hey.
I was going to say my hometown of Chicago, Ed. The worst air quality from all that smoke yesterday in the city's history. So all that wood smoke coming down from the fires up in Ontario, Canada, and northern Minnesota, and it's gone all the way, as you just articulated, to the nation's capital and beyond.
Yeah. Bill, could I say something to the councilman? I was so sorry to hear about your dad's passing. I think he was probably one of the really all-star public servants in my generation of Arizonans. Really a very special man. I'm so sorry.
Oh, thanks, Terry. It means a lot to hear from you and let you know to hear from you and mention that. It's been a wild ride. I mean, it's 15 months ago, but it's definitely been an interesting. It's been an interesting year.
Terry, I don't know if you heard earlier in the program, Joe Ferguson with me here in studio asked the councilman about the Democratic Socialists of America and some of the successes they've had, the DSA. And Joe asked Paul, has that somehow impacted the council? And Paul's response was he didn't really think so. How is it impacting maybe the national scene, Terry, the DSA?
Well, I hear two sides of it. On the one hand, you have the people here in town who make their living getting members of Congress elected, the consultants and all those. They're scared to death. They think it's going to hurt the chance to really have a good election this year for Democrats. On the other hand, I look around me and I talk to people. Everybody's hurting. Everybody is hurting. And I think this is a true reflection of what people are feeling out there. And generally, I've learned in politics that if you listen carefully to what people are telling you, you're going to have a much better chance of winning an election. So that's my take on it.
All right, let's bring in Joe Ferguson, Terry Bracey, by the way, on our live line, presented by our good friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. And we are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Terry, you've been in the game so long, and we've got an election around the corner. What did you think about last night's presidential address?
I thought it was an act of desperation, Joe. He just brought up the same old subjects. He's still living in that 2020 election. He can't stand the idea that he ever lost anything. He's a megalomaniac. And I think, you know, the reception, I was out talking to a bunch of friends this morning at breakfast, and the reaction was, what is this? You know, it was kind of ridicule, if anything. People are worried he's kind of losing it. But my take is that what they're going to try to do, and it's my column in the Star this week, is they're going to give us another dose of the Red Scare.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Bill and I were growing up, we had a guy named Senator Joe McCarthy of Wisconsin who, with his aide Roy Cohen, stirred up a terrible amount of fear across the country about communists under every bed. They brought out Whitaker Chambers. They dragged out leaders of academia and the arts, Hollywood, blacklisted. All of that was going on to serve the needs for one man, his publicity, his career. And it took it years to work its way through the system. And finally, I was part of a group that worked to get rid of the House Un-American Activities Committee. But this is a new attempt to do it. I think it's going to be pretty hard to sell it if he's thought of as Putin's poodle.
There was also a little bit of that Red Scare. I can remember covering Ronald Reagan before he was president and covering a couple of his speeches when I was working for NBC Radio in Las Vegas. And Ronald Reagan made a couple of, I can remember covering a couple of his speeches to different trade groups. And that Red Scare was out there then, Terry Bracey.
It goes away for a while, but it always comes back when the Republicans need something to fight about.
So do you think then this is going to be the strategy, not only, well, going into the midterms, you're going to hear a lot of this from the MAGA?
I do. I think they're trying it out right now to see how much, if it's really going to take. But if they can stir it up at all, I think that their whole approach is going to be that the elections have been ruined by foreign countries, communists undercutting them. You can't believe what the results are. This kind of stuff, that's what they've done before. And I think that's going to be their main play right now. They don't have anything else.
Yeah, I want to return here, and Paul Cunningham can jump in here. We were talking about it wasn't so long ago that it was a Republican consul here in the city of Tucson. And Paul brought up Mayor Bob Walkup. And, of course, you worked, Terry, very hard on getting the, I believe it was called the Tiger Grant for the streetcar project. Could you reflect a little bit on that for us, Terry Bracey?
He was a really great guy, Bob Walkup. He'd come to town, and it was a Democratic Congress mostly at that time, but he had a very ill daughter who had cancer, and she lived in North Carolina. And so at the end of the work week, Bob would get in an airplane. He'd fly here to make a connection in North Carolina, and I'd get a call like around noon on Friday afternoon when I'm thinking about playing golf, and it's Mayor Walkup.
Mm.
And he said, let's go do some selling. And he was just amazing. We'd go up into different congressional offices, and he said, I'm the mayor of Tucson, Arizona, and I'd like to meet the congressman. Well, they all let him in. And he really played a major role a major, major role in selling that Tiger grant that has built so much. And also Paul and the council, they took a lot of heat. They were bitterly criticized for doing this silly project and so on. But you know what? They stood firm. They had showed real courage. And look at the benefit Tucson's gotten.
Well, the streetcar built up, a lot, coupled with the GPLET, coupled with the with the new improved Rio Nuevo, all those things kind of converged at once. And we really had, that's why we have the vibe we have downtown. It's a really special thing. And people around the country recognize Tucson's downtown as a great way to do it. I'd like to see us go vertical a couple more places. There's a couple fill-ins we still have opportunity to. And again, nobody wants to do it lot by lot, but I do. I think that's a big piece to it. Specifically right next to H2O where the parking garage, that private parking garage is. That needs to go vertical. We need to figure out how to incentivize it properly. That's like one piece of the capstone. It's interesting to me that here in Tucson, our tallest building is 330 feet. I was recently advised that the Eiffel Tower is 1,000 feet. We've got it. We can't be afraid to build a high-density city. And grow up as a city. We can't be afraid of that prospect, and it's something that we can do.
Terry, I want to circle back to your column. Paul, by the way, thank you very much for joining us. Paul Cunningham's got to run. I want to circle back to that column that you had a week or so ago about the billionaires now, and that you set this up for me, Terry, about what that was about.
Well, Nancy and I got up one morning and opened up the digital newspaper, which is what we have now, the Washington Post. And there across the front page of the Washington Post was a visage, the pictures of 8 billionaires. And the story was how important they are to governing America. And I thought to myself, holy cow. This is really true. It's very much like what Mark Twain called the Gilded Age. Back at the turn of the 20th century, when you had Rockefeller and Carnegie and Mellon, and they had their grip on almost all of production in the country. They formed trusts that set all the prices and so on. And eventually, their greed became so obvious that they started to become very unpopular, and they realized it, and they started making public investments in libraries and in all kinds of different public projects that are honored today. This group, I haven't seen that from. I see Elon Musk and his trillion. He's got a net worth more than probably 80% of the countries on the planet.
Wow.
And they come in, they sweep into power here with Trump. And what do? Start ruining lives. They take away all the protections, the financial protections for the people against criminal banks. They take away thousands and thousands of jobs. And where is all that money going?
I don't know.
It's going back to them. It's going to them. And here's Trump sitting in office with his sons out there as his agents dealing around the world, making billions and billions of dollars. So I just thought that I wanted to write about that and think about, how can we bring this to an end? And I came to the conclusion that we need 2 elections. First, we need the Alexis Ophir election, and then we need to win the presidential race. But that's not enough. Then we need to focus on the Supreme Court, because it's a court that's allowed Trump to get away with all this.
How do you look at the, Joe, and I think Joe and I are both curious about what your take is right now on the midterms, Terry, and we're not that far away, are we?
Well, I think unless they can in some way just totally disrupt society and call for emergencies and this and that, I think it's going to be a big sweep. I think people have had enough of this. And I think we'll definitely win the House. Democrats will. I think we're likely to win the Senate, although it's you know, it's one thing for people to say to pollsters, I disapprove of him. I mean, he's in the 30s right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a one thing for a person who is, say, a Republican or a Democrat to say, I don't like him. And it's another thing to vote against him. Those are two separate decisions in politics.
Do you think
but
that?
I think that. Go ahead, Joe.
Do you think there are going to be any October surprises? I mean, we saw with Graham Plantner, you know, that he's now out of the race. He was once a darling of the Democratic Party in this cycle. Do you think there are more October surprises ahead that are going to hurt Democrats' chances of taking back the House and the Senate?
Joe, I don't know. I mean, there could be. I don't think that this race is going to be won on whether you're the nicest person or not. I think it's going to be one on, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do so I can get food on the table? And that's the kind of election I think it's going to be, Joe. I could be wrong. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, there aren't a lot of virgins in politics these days.
Mm-hmm. So what about the Senate? How close are the Democrats in that area right now? It's 50-50, or what's your take?
I think it's 50-50. They'll pick up North Carolina, I think pretty, I'm sure of that. They'll pick up Alaska, I think, a Republican seat. I think we're going to pick up Ohio. And enough of the rest of them. I don't know about Texas. I feel like Charlie Brown always going after that ball, you know. But this guy may just carry off Texas. I just think that there's such a deep feeling in the country about what a mistake was made that it's going to have some surprises. You know, there was an election that I was involved in, unfortunately, where I was in the Carter government as a sub-cabinet officer and hoping that a good man would get reelected. And then everything turned against President Carter. I mean, everything turned against him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he wasn't in as bad a shape, I would say, as this guy is. So and what happened then is you woke up on election day and you had the names of all these senators nobody's ever heard of. Don't you remember?
I mean, yeah, I do.
I mean, people you'd never heard of.
I know.
It was a sweep.
Yep,
it was. I think that could be this result.
All right, Terry Bracy, we're going to let you go. We will look for your column, The Return of the Red Scare, that column coming up in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star. Terry, it's always great checking in with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Always enjoy it.
All right. Terry Bracy with us on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. Joe Ferguson, thank you, Joe. Always a pleasure to see you. We'll look for your work at Tucson Agenda Daily in your inbox at 6 a.m. and easy to subscribe.
TucsonAgenda.com. Can't be simpler than that.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
A new 20-year regional transportation authority plan will be in effect starting April 1st. Voter-approved transportation improvements will be funded across the region over the next 20 years from a half-cent sales tax paid by residents, businesses, visitors, and tourists. Funds collected from across the region flow back out across the region to address the needs of all transportation users. The RTA will fund improvements to roadways, transit, bicycle, and pedestrian infrastructure, and more. Visit rtamobility.com for upcoming activities.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Travel is my lifelong passion, visiting more than 100 countries, all 50 states, and flying on nearly 75 different airlines. I'm ready to talk travel anytime, anywhere. That's why I'm excited about our new monthly Travel Talk podcast, hosted by Bon Voyage Travel President Ryan Hansen. Check out the latest travel trends on Travel Talk at bvtravel.com. This is Bill Buckmaster, Friday, July 24th. Is Tucson a safe city? We'll hear what the City of Tucson Police Chief thinks, plus Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI The Voice. Always live Fridays at noon at buckmastershow.com, the place for all of our podcasts and complete show archive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Showtime for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by my friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now to get away from the heat. Have an enchanting getaway in the land of enchantment. One of the easy selling points about Silver City this time of year is, well, it's about 5,000, anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 feet. So you're going to get, warm days and cool nights. How about that? Usually at least 10 degrees cooler than the Tucson area, and it's an easy 3-hour drive or so east of Tucson. Tons of stuff to do, including the Gila National Wilderness and hanging out in historic Silver City. More at visitsilvercity.org. We're always delighted that they're one of our Buckmaster Show sponsors. Leslie Lois is here from 101.7 The Drive. Leslie, what kind of a weekend do we have going on?
Surprisingly, we have a lot going on this weekend, the middle of summer. So Tucson Saguaro Baseball wraps up their season here at home. They've got tonight, they're playing the Alpine Cowboys tonight.
From Texas, Alpine, Texas Cowboys.
They play them tonight and tomorrow, 7 o'clock. That's at Keno Stadium. And rain should be out of the way, hopefully. And actually, tomorrow night, I think, is a great time to go do outdoor activities because the rain level is going to be at like 10%.
Yeah, I think this kind of this surge we've been having last 4 or 5 days pretty much ends today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
great time to maybe go check out the night ops at Pima Air and Space Museum. I love that they do this. Mm-hmm. They stay open late, 5 to 8:30. You can watch the sun go down with the cloud cover we've been having. I bet it would be gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's $15 for ages 13 and up. Free if you're under 12, which is perfect. We took our granddaughter there last year and she absolutely loved it. Now, because of the rain we have been getting up on Mount Lemmon and stuff, I bet there's water flowing in Sabino Canyon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is.
So I'm so excited that they brought the nighttime crawler back for Sabino Canyon trams.
Yeah.
You can go there every Saturday night. It's $15, and they take you up to Stop 9, and then they take you to Bear Canyon, overlook the city. It is gorgeous, and I bet the water will be flowing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I highly recommend get reservations in advance for that, because they always end up selling out. Mm-hmm. Now, this is kind of cool, happening on Sunday. It's a Desert Haze Market. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It's the Southwest Record and vintage fair. Yeah. So
vinyl.
Vinyl records, cool. Yeah. This is happening at La Rosa over on Country Club. Lots of vendors selling records and vintage clothes you could do. And if you're a fan of yoga and mm-hmm. maybe want to have some dogs do some yoga with you, there's Karma
dog yoga.
Yeah, dog yoga at PAC on Sunday, 1 to 2 o'clock. Make sure you make a reservation for that, any level of
very cool.
Yoga.
Thank you very much, Leslie Lois. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks, Brendan, on the other side of the glass for your work today. Hope everybody has a great weekend.